Well, thank you. Good morning again. And I have also no financial disclosures to reveal. But again, while Kimberly very well mentioned about the national perspective and the project, I'm going to talk about really implementing the project in a community. And whereas theoretically it looks very good that you have confined registered populations offering services, testing, should theoretically provide an opportunity to improve coverage, services, and outcomes, but actually in practice, what are the problems we faced, which may be different from the other 9 sites that we have, but still they offer good lessons learned for as you go along, as we are going along in the project, and as also for those who want to replicate such interventions. Okay. Simple description for the project was that it's hands-on, service-oriented, small-scale. We are talking about 5 county jails, dependent on intensive medical and social service case management. And the complex description is that we had designed to target 5 Pennsylvania county jails, 2 very active and supportive, 2 addressing future needs, 1 totally unresponsive. And how do we enroll? We ideally identify before release to effectively plan for and carry out comprehensive discharge, and also we identify after discharge through linkages with probation and parole. So services that we, Kimberly also mentioned, once we identify the client, we take them for reintegration process to help ensure adherence to HIV medical care, and one of the objectives of the project was also to reduce recidivism, and we offer psychosocial assessment, substance abuse counseling, psychiatric assessments, intensive case management, transportation, and phone needs. And you would be really surprised that transportation and housing were the real, real major percentage of needs for this population. And phone cards, yes. So in ideal world, we will do it on site during incarceration, but again, talking about the real world, we have only referrals after release, walk-ins, and blind phone calls. So again, provider needs, which are our perceived needs, and on the right are the demands from their side. So we think housing, transportation, food, medical care, clothing, identification, social security or ID cards so that they are eligible to receive their benefits, and phones. And for them, the order is very clear. Sex, cigarettes, drugs, food, housing, transportation, sex, phone, sex, ID cards, benefits, and medical care as the last demand from their side. So again, the idea is to how to link these needs and demands and reach a common ground. So what we had expected before we started, you know, when we wrote the grant, 5 county jails, so much client population, we would reach the stars. And so this was it. Jails, cultures, subcultures, and politics, disease stigma, poverty, discrimination, addiction, and also very low priority given to discharge planning for the HIV patients in jails and prisons, of course. Sorry why I'm moving there. And unexpected challenges was that no interest by jails to actualize their commitment to be participatory in HIV. A couple of jails, when you talk, they really jumped from their seat as to say, you know, you are opening the gate for lawsuits, you're going to increase our costs, the medical service is already declining, and you want to add one other burden, and then if you identify them as positive, then what is our responsibility, what is our liability, and then we have to talk to our board, we have to talk to our county chief, we have to go to the, I don't know, State Bureau of Prisons, or things like that. So these were some of the unexpected challenges when we started venturing into the county jails. So for us, the guiding principles were the relationships that keeps clients linked, meet people at their turf, give them the transportation. Like I said, 90% needed this assistance. Address their acute needs from the start. And then once we have developed the relationship and intensity has improved, then we can come to their long-term, medium-term chronic needs. And also, perseverance, very, very critical. Unless you have these 2 traits, you cannot thrive to continue providing service to such population. And so we sort of compartmentalized the challenges. We said, okay, so each jail has some unique challenges, and then each client has their own specific challenges. So we also started identifying multiple service providers, and then link them through deployed case management to help ensure continuity of success and reintegration process. And again, very, very, you know, fast hitting the ground running, we learned that we have to keep it real, and our hopes really need to be tainted with reality check. So, Chester City, This is where I had the honor, actually, to serve as the health commissioner for 10 years. And third poorest city of its size in the nation, highest crime rate in the county, and also the third highest incidence of HIV disease in the state. So four additional counties in the project included, but they were also, though they were in a better socioeconomic and demographic profile sort of communities, but inside the jails they were equally overcrowded, and their clients were being discharged to better off communities. But lives, as you explore the interviews and others, their lives were equally affected and fractured. So 20% of the clients that we saw for medical care and services did not have clean or affordable housing. You know, you bring them into medical care, you give them the treatment and tell them, go home and heal. So healing, yes, home, no. So where would they go and heal? And that's the question coming back to recidivism and going back into the same culture and streets which really led them to be there in the first place. So this is one of the pictures of one of our clients outside one of the abandoned houses, and this is his board. Lack of housing, again, 90%, mental health condition, 55%, substance abuse, 66%, and identified healthcare provider for over 80% of our clients. So again, this was the gamut of services that we were offering to these clients in this project. And supportive, again, in addition to transportation, food, we were also referring them to housing services and really making sure that most of our clients did eventually get up through the community housing some place to stay. There are some alternative therapies, vocational training, and of course some art therapy. We have two or three really good African-American art houses in the city of Chester that were also very supportive in addressing the holistic approach in terms of healing. And this is just, you know, being an epi, you cannot end the presentation without any data. So this is just a sort of not very conclusive, but still it does show qualitatively something. The red line is the follow-up at 6 months, and blue line is the baseline at the start. And if you see, the question was troubled by medical problems in past 30 days. So at baseline, 23% said not at all. But after 6 months, 66% said not at all. So this could be a bias in there because they were our clients, they were coming to us, they were utilizing our care, transportation, they may be inclined to say, we need to make our, you know, service provider happy. But again, the trend continues. And if you see, even for slightly bothered, moderately bothered, considerably bothered, and extremely bothered, the percentage, the decline was persistent across the brackets. And this is for importance of medical problems for treatment. Once you bring them into care, you educate them that along with sex, transportation, and housing, medical care is also important for you to reintegrate into life. Again, we saw more or less similar trend. If you see that for the follow-up, the trend for is moderately important, considerably important, extremely important, the percentage did improve at 6 month follow-up. But again, the same bias, the caveat is the same bias may be playing. They wanted to make the interviewer happy. But let's see, after 1 year, 1.5 year, how did we do? Thank you very much. Oh, sorry, clapped one slide earlier. Well, you can clap again, no problem. So work with you, the lesson learned, work with you what you have and with one who wants to work with you. Rather than waiting and investing our assets into the remaining three county jails to really improve service coverage, we discussed with the evaluation center and HRSA, and we started focusing more and more intensity, with more intensively and with greater intensity on the jails who were willing to work with us. Thank you. Now you can clap. Yes, so 5 minutes for questions. Yes.
I am curious, there were what, 10 states chosen? Was there 10 states or 10 jails? Were there any requirements for these particular states? Because they're all on the East Coast.
Well, that answer can be given by Kim.
So there were 10 sites, but two are in Pennsylvania. So that's why there's 9 states. So one is in Philadelphia and one is in Chester. So there's 9 states. But so there was no, that I know of, any concerted effort to select people from on the East Coast. It just kind of happened that way.
Okay, so there were areas that were predominantly affected by the epidemic or not, or no criteria at all, just random?
So people, right, so HRSA did not, for this RFA that I know of, have the requirements that you're talking about. The Corrections Administration Project, the predecessor to this, did require that those applicants be from areas that have a demonstrably higher level of HIV prevalence, but that was not a requirement for this initiative. Yeah, that's a good point, though.